You are about to listen to the undiluted word of God, taught by Pastor Chidiebere Nwokocha, Senior Pastor of Kingdom Disciples Assembly, a man known for his strong passion for leadership, growth, and kingdom discipleship. Listen and be impacted.
And this morning, we're looking at lessons from the heroes of faith. Lessons from the heroes of faith. I've read Hebrews 11 several times, several years. But it was last night that God opened my eyes to see Hebrews 11 from a different perspective. And I realized that Apostle Paul was not just giving us a list of people that did exploits in the name of the Lord in the Bible. There was something he wanted us to understand about faith. And that was why he started from Abel and went down and gave the list of the heroes of faith. I was asking, I said, God, what are we to learn from this? Paul wasn't just telling us a history, you know, story, giving us history. Just go through this. No, there was a reason. Praise the Lord. And I realized that there are several lessons he wanted us to take away from these heroes of faith. And by the grace of God, we're going to look at them this morning and learn from it. Verse 1 to 3 of Hebrews 11 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." He said, through faith we understand that the world we are framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen, we are not made of things which do appear. Praise the Lord. I said, God, what are we to learn from this? And the learning point from that is, faith is a link or connection between the physical realm and the supernatural or spiritual realm. You see, Paul was trying to say here is that, you see, it is by faith that God, you know, the things that we are not seeing, we are what? Created. By spoken words. And I began to brood over this. And I realized that there is no invention without faith. Show me one invention. Anything that has been invented, I will show you somebody that had faith. People are looking at me, Pastor, how? It doesn't matter whether they're born again or not. Anybody that invented anything had what? Faith. The issue is whether it's faith in God. But the person had what? Faith. And let me bring this out. Before you invent something, you will have had a vision, right? You will have visualized it. You will have had a substance of what you are hoping to accomplish, right? You will have seen the evidence of that thing even before it materialized. So, faith is that link between the vision and the materializing of that vision. It is faith. Because when you've seen it in your mind eye, and you are telling me, can't you see? I want to invent this. I have this vision. They may look at that as a madman. I can imagine Thomas Edison trying to invent bulb. Praise the Lord. He said, there is something that I can give you. Instead of putting candle, instead of using ordinary fire, something that can shine. They will say, crazy man. But in his mind, he saw it. And it was the faith that he had in that vision that made him. Did the experiment 999 times, he failed. If he didn't have faith, he would have quit. Praise the Lord. At a 1,000th experiment, we have the electric bulb, right? Same thing. We are ye are gods. Praise the Lord. And there is power in the word. So it is by faith that you speak those things that I have not seen and speak their word into existence. So Apostle Paul was saying here that faith connects you from the vision to reality. That is why you have an evidence, praise the Lord, of things not seen. Imagine going to a law court and the judge said, what is the evidence? He said, in the year 2023, I have seen this now happen. They will say, lock him up until the year 2023. When the evidence will have materialized, let him come out again. Because normally, evidence is something that is real, physical, right? That you can see. So, faith is a link between the vision and the reality. A lot of people have given up on their vision because they don't have faith. Maybe God gave you a word of things He wanted to do. Maybe you had a vision to invent something. Maybe God put it in your spirit of witty invention. But you don't have faith. And that is why a lot of people have quit halfway into what? Their project. I want to prophesy into the life of somebody here today. Whatever with the invention God has put in your heart, whatever project that you have commenced this morning, receive faith to accomplish it in the name of Jesus. The heroes of faith, it was faith that helped them to move from the physical realm to the spiritual realm and bring out that thing that is in the spiritual realm. Praise the Lord. No invention without faith. Can I write that one down? Nobody, if you tell anybody that invented anything on earth, he had faith. And because for it to materialize, you have to believe. Praise the Lord. Now you go down to verse 4 of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Wow. Why would they bring Abel into this situation? Praise the Lord. He just made a sacrifice and died. How? Well, God said, which is number 2, write it down. He said, faith enables you to make the required sacrifice. Enables you to deny yourself something in life to achieve a greater good or goal. You see, what Apostle Paul was trying to bring out here is that if you have faith, then you will sacrifice something. Some people want to go to heaven, right? Like all of us, right? But they don't want to die. Right? If you talk about that, everybody's scared, right? But we all want to go to heaven. Some people want to pass their exams, right? But they don't want to study. I don't know if I'm connecting this morning. So if you have faith and I want to accomplish A, B, C, D, then you are going to make sacrifice. Abel barely knew about God, but he believed that there is God, and that whatever thing that came out from his work was by the grace of God. And he was willing to make a sacrifice that God saw and said, this man has wisdom. You want to serve God in the house of God? You want to be a worker? You don't want to bring out time to pray, fast, praise the Lord, come for meetings, be in church early, clean up the church, do other things. It must cost you something. Show me a man who has faith, and I will show you a man who makes sacrifice. Show me a man that has faith, what? And I will show you somebody that is willing to sacrifice time and other things to accomplish what? On that thing that he has faith on. You believe in God. You have faith in God. Then that faith should produce the desired sacrifice to accomplish what God has called it to do. You want to serve God. You want to lay hands on the sick. And you are living in sin. How can two of them go together? You want to lay hands on the sick and the sick will be healed. Demons will be, you deliver people from demons, right? Then be prepared to live holy. You have to sacrifice something. That is what Paul was trying to say there. That they have to sacrifice something. So if you have faith, then you must be willing to do what? Sacrifice. You must pay a price. Sometimes you have to deny yourself things. Deny yourself food. Deny yourself other things, that other pleasures. Because you have what? Faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The third thing that I learned from Hebrews 11. If you go to verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I said, God, what is the learning point here? He says, faith, you can write it down, gives the impetus to please God. And pleasing God always comes with a reward. Let me explain. Enoch had faith in God because he got to a point in his life where he trusted God absolutely. Therefore, Enoch lived a life to do what? Please man. I want the church to answer. Man? To please who? God! Like we're told on Wednesday, he was 65 years old when he started walking with God. And for 300 years, Enoch did not do his own will anymore. Every action that he took was, God, will this make you happy? And that is why, at the end of the 300 years, I love the way Pastor Deboye explained. He said, God will come, see Enoch. They will just with Enoch. He will just with Enoch. And as he's going back, Enoch will see him off. Enoch will see him off to where he's going. They will just, he will see Enoch back. And one day he says, Enoch, you know what? There's no need to go back. Come. I'm going to reward you. You will not see that. When you exercise faith, believe me, God will reward you. Because faith is the currency of heaven. And if you're satisfied in any situation, trusting God absolutely, believe me, he will reward you beyond your wildest imagination. Praise the Lord. The next thing I learned from this, Hebrews 11, verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The fourth point here, learning point. Faith in God makes one to reverence him. Faith in God makes one to do what? Reverence him. See, Noah, he said, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear. That fear there is not the fear of weakness, right? It's the fear of what? You reverence God. You see, when nobody believed God, Noah, because he had faith, had to do what? Had to reverence him. Some of us don't fear God anymore. God is our next door neighbor. We do all kinds of things and say there is grace. That's why Paul warned us and said, should we continue in sin? That grace may abound. He said, God what? God forbid. You say you have faith. I will show you a man that reverence God, that fear God. A man that has faith in God, I will show you that man that fears God. If you have faith in God, then you will fear God. Praise the Lord. Then verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heir with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. What is Paul trying to tell us here about Abraham? And this is the fifth point. You can write it down. He said, faith leads to obedience, especially when it does not make sense. You have faith in God, and you want God, until God shows me the end point, I won't follow him. It doesn't work like that. If you're going to say you have faith in God, then you just have to follow him step by step. You don't need to know the total picture before you follow God. You know, that's where some of us have a problem. You know, this morning we were discussing this on the school, and one of the things that we're taught, God does not make deals. Even me, when I heard it the first time, I was like, how? Remember the story of Jacob wrestling with God. I said, God, if you bless me, I won't let you go. Remember the story of Hannah. Oh God, give me a child, and I will give him back to you. But when I started asking the Holy Spirit, I said, help me, Holy Spirit. How? He said, one, the purpose of God is eternal. He's not like man, because you annoyed him, he will change what he plans to do for you. His purpose, what? Is eternal. His plans are eternal. And I said, okay, this woman that, you know, kind of, this person wrestled. God told me, look, already, the blessing of Abraham was already working in Joseph, in Jacob's life. He was in line for that. I said, what about Hannah? He said, when you ask according to my will, praise the Lord, I will do it for you. There are many people who didn't have children, who kept on saying, if you give me a child, did God answer them? I may not be. When you ask according to his purpose and will, that's why he says, when we are praying, we should allow the Holy Spirit to teach us what to pray. You know, it was a bit tough for us to break it down. But Hannah, all the while Hannah was talking to Elkanah, blaming the husband, give me a male child or I die. God said, this will never get sense. Praise the Lord. All this is the way we say it here. Receive sense. When he finished fighting the husband, she started fighting the other wife, because I'm making a mockery of her. Heaven was watching. Until she got a point that she allowed the Spirit of God to come into her, and she took her eyes off the husband, took her eyes off the other woman, and focused on her. I said, God, give me a child, and he will serve you. God said, wise woman. Because God needed a prophet to replace Eli. It wasn't because Hannah said, if you give me a child, I will, even if it's a deal, you will have ended there now. Give me a child, I'll give you a prophet. Okay, pump up, everybody will go. No. God does not do deals. Praise the Lord. So when you have faith, it leads to total obedience. Abraham was a rich man, 75 years old. You know, I got Abraham, take your things, leave your father's house, leave your kindred, follow me to a land I will show you. You know, it's easy to follow God when you don't have anything, right? If God said, Chinebere, follow me, when I didn't have anything, let's say, follow me to the U.S. I said, thank you, Jesus. It is the voice of God. Praise the Lord. If they said, follow me to Afghanistan, I said, the Lord, let me pray about it. Then imagine when you have made all your money. You look left, you live in the best part of the city. You have everything that you need. You look at account, you have a lot of money. And God says, yes, my son, leave your house. Dash it out. Let me paint the practical picture for you. Dash it out. The money you have in your account, give it out. You know, that's what Jesus told that young man who came. He said, give out everything you have and follow me. I'm taking you to heaven. So people say, Lord, I can see the one on earth, heaven. I have not seen. Praise the Lord. You know, it was tough. But Bible says Abraham obeyed. And he was accounted unto him for what? For righteousness. He gave up everything and started following. Where are you going? Need to be asked. Just say, follow me and I will show you. You can't say that with children of these days. Daddy, where are we going? Before you enter, get to, Daddy, where are we going? You say, trust your daddy. And I said, no, Daddy, I want to know where we are going. Small children, no. They imagine an adult who has arrived and made money. And he said, leave everything and follow me. I will show you where we are going. Someone will say, Lord Jesus, or Lord, you know what? I will come later. Sometimes God calls us. And you know the toilet, some of us don't even have anything, sir. God said, follow me. My son, come. Let me take you to a better place. I want to show you great and mighty things. Come and serve me. He said, Lord, they remember one small girl somewhere and a girlfriend. They said, Lord, I will come tomorrow. And that is why some people have come. They've had wonderful sermons. They say, because they remember the sin they are living in. They say, we'll go back and live in sin. Abraham left everything. If you're going to have faith in God, then you must obey him completely. Praise the Lord. Not half obedience. Not one leg in, one leg out. That is why the church these days are not as powerful as they should be. Because we obey God in parts. Abraham's obedience was absolute. Even when he waited for several years for the child to come. Imagine God said, you have a child. He waited for 25 good years after God had said, I'm going to give you a child. Praise the Lord. And as he had his child, that would take the level of obedience. And God said, Abraham, I want you to make a sacrifice for me. A wonderful sacrifice. I'm sure Abraham would say, God, I've been building altars for you now. I've been, but that is a special word, sacrifice. He said, Abraham, take your son, Isaac, your only son. He said, that thing Abraham did on the side, God did not recognize it. He said, your only son, and offer him a sacrifice. Abraham could have said to that voice, get thee behind me, Satan. Because it looks as if, you see, no, you don't understand. In the surrounding nations, they serve Molech. Molech, the worshippers of Molech offer their children a sacrifice. And God has said, do not be like the other nations. Right? And this time God said, Abraham, bring your son and sacrifice. Some of us will say, no, this is contrary to God. Get it behind me, Satan. But because he was used to hearing God, he knows the voice of God. Do you know the voice of God? Do you have a relationship? Because he knew the voice of God, he did not question it. Yes, Lord. Isaac, we are going to make a sacrifice to God. And they went. Daddy, where is the lamb for sacrifice? The ram. He said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. He is God. Praise the Lord. Provide himself sacrifice. So Abraham realized that, look, this God, issues of life and death are in his hands. Praise the Lord. He gives, he takes. Praise the Lord. If it took him 25 years to give me this Isaac, Isaac has grown up now, maybe it's about 17, 18 years. And he said, I should offer him back to Isaac. I will offer. And Bible says he was counted unto him for righteousness. That's why it's called the father of faith. Some of us will have buckled under that. Say, Lord, no. 25 good years, you gave me this one. And I'm sure Isaac will have been a handsome boy. And whenever he's playing, you know, you see the promise of God playing. Praise the Lord. And I don't even know what Abraham told Sarah. Because Sarah will have pulled down the roof. Abraham, this is your faith is going too far. Abraham, I beg. I need to hear God myself. Abraham, please. Enough. How old am I now? How old was I when God gave us this child? My body was already dead, right? Then he said, has not come. He said, I want to sacrifice him. How old do you think Sarah was? I was 100 and something that time. He said, Abraham, please. But Abraham had faith. Praise the Lord. The sixth point comes from verse 11. He said, faith. He said, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand by which is by the sea, seashore innumerable. Sixth point here. Faith, you can write it down, builds our strength even in our weakness. Faith gives us strength. Even what? In your weakness. And let me explain. When you have faith in God, that God will do this, even when you are down and out, you are weak. You know what keeps you going? What gives you the strength to keep going? Is the faith that you have. When people are going to say, are you out of your mind? That thing doesn't make sense anymore. But because you believe, you know the person that you have a relationship with, what does he do for you? He gives you strength. And people will look at you and say, don't understand. He has been through this, been through that, and yes, he's still marching on. That is why, as a believer, Bible says, our joy is unspeakable, even in tribulation. Because Jesus says, yes, tribulation will come to you and I. But he said, I have overcome the world for you. Believers, Christians, are special creatures who are fighting what? A battle that we know how it's already been won. Won. So because you have this victory, you know it's already been won, right? And you have faith. Even when you are weak, even when you are tired, when you don't want to get up, it is the faith that gives you what? Strength. Praise the Lord. The seventh point. You know, Paul was a great teacher. Wow. I've read this several times and never saw this. 13 says, these all died in faith. Why is Paul saying this? Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and we are persuaded of them, and embrace them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For they that say, such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is unheavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. What was Paul trying to communicate here? The seventh point. Death should not destroy your faith in God. Even if your promise is not fulfilled now in history, but it will be fulfilled in eternity. Abraham, I will make your children a great nation. Abraham believed. Did he wait to see it? But did Abraham see it? In eternity. And I explain. You see, our time here on earth is called history. Our God is not limited by time and space. So when God gives you a promise, he's not looking at just now or your time in history. Praise the Lord. And that is why people like Abraham, they believe, even though in the earthly realm, they didn't see it happen. But in the spiritual realm, they witnessed it to happen, right? So when you believe in God and God has spoken to you, it should not be limited here only on earth. Because if your faith only ends here on earth, then you don't need to believe in God. That means when you die, everything you've believed has done what? Gone with you. These people believed, even though they did not live to see it. Abraham, your children will go to a country where they will spend 400 years. Did Abraham witness it? But he believed. Your faith in God should not be limited by time and space. Praise the Lord. The eighth point, verse 17. He said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promise offered up his own only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. From hence also he received him in a figure. 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. The eighth point. Faith makes you understand that issues of life and death are in the hands of God. And only Him can make the impossible possible. You see, what Abraham was saying here, or what Paul was saying about Abraham, is that Abraham came to the conclusion that God can make alive, God can cure, that God can raise Isaac back to life again if He chooses. So when he came to that point, nothing could limit him anymore. You see, this faith in God is absolute. That is why Job said, even though he slays me, I will still trust him. Because if he slays me and it pleases him to bring me back to life, he will bring me back to life. Whatever case where people came back from the dead, back to life. Praise the Lord. Even Lazarus, when he died, after 4 days, Jesus brought him back to life. And the people wanted to kill him again to conceal the evidence. So when you believe God, you have to understand that issues of life and death are in His hands. He can make alive. He can kill. He can raise from the dead. Praise the Lord. He makes the impossible what? Possible. You know, there was a story I read in the news in Egypt. A man that killed... I think the wife got converted to Christianity in Egypt, killed the wife and buried the woman with the children alive, right? After a few days, when the thing broke out, about 4 or 5, or up the week, I don't know how many days, they went and dug up the place and found these children alive. And they said, what happened? The angel said, there is a man that comes every day in white that will bring us food, bring this, bring that, inside the ground. Does it make sense? Can you figure it out with your brain? You see, in the desert, those areas, the weather is hot. If they put somebody inside the ground, even the ground will help to cook the person. So you need to think. If it's in the cold, I say, okay, maybe the weather was cold, the soil was cold. The ground will help to do what? Cook the person. If you travel to all those Middle East and put yam inside the ground, under the hot desert, come back a few days, you come here, you have your cooked yam. They were not cooked. They were alive. Praise the Lord. Because He pleased Jesus to do what? To keep them alive for a purpose. Praise the Lord. The ninth point, verse 21. He said, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Jacob, Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. How did Joseph know that one day the rest will pass and they will leave? Prophecy. Praise the Lord. What he's saying here is that, okay, I'm not giving the point. The ninth point says, by faith, we pass on generational blessings. faith leads to the prophetic. Praise the Lord. How will Isaac believe that? By saying, when Isaac was blessing Jacob, you'll be this, you'll be that. How does he know it will happen? Faith. When they say, somebody has caught somebody and he has stood, why? Faith. If there's no faith, it's just the ordinary word spoken. But what gives it the backing is the faith behind the word spoken. Those have said, I know one day we're going to leave Egypt. Don't leave my body, my bones here. Take it along. It is faith that makes father to call his children and bless them. Praise the Lord. That was what Paul was trying to bring up from this. The 10th point, verse 23, he said, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was healed 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. I said, wow. I said, Apostle Paul, Holy Spirit, help me here. What was he trying to bring out? Praise the Lord. He said, faith, which is the 10th point, eliminates what? Fear. I mean, these were ordinary folks. And a king has given a commandment. They saw this child. The child was fair looking. They said, no. I know this child will be somebody great tomorrow. I'm not going to kill this child. Let me hide him by the water. I'm going to disobey Pharaoh. Faith eliminates fear. Imagine even when the child was discovered. Miriam ran. They would have said, they didn't even fear that time. The king will say, okay, you put knew about this child, eh? All of you come, let us even investigate and find out. Let us touch up. You know, if it's Nigerian police, by the time they put Moses' mother through the process, she will confess, I'm a child. But because they had faith, they were not afraid anymore. They hid the child. Faith eliminates what? Fear. Praise the Lord. The 11th point. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. The 11th point. Faith prepares us to suffer affliction for a better tomorrow. And helps us to take a better what? Decision. Faith prepares us to suffer affliction for a better tomorrow and helps us to take a better what? Decision. Let me explain here. Maybe you didn't know, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. He was trained to be a Pharaoh. In fact, Bible scholars said he was a general. They said he was the general that led the battle against the Ethiopians. Ethiopia came against Egypt, almost 1 million soldiers. And Egypt won. It was said that it was Moses that led the battle. I don't know whether it's true, but I read it somewhere. So he wasn't just a commoner in the palace of Pharaoh. He was what? Like a Pharaoh. Well trained, prepared to even take over the throne. But when he came to the realization that there is more to this, I am a Jew. And God put it in his spirit, Moses, it's time to enter into your destiny. If you stay here, you just die an ordinary Pharaoh. Nobody will remember you. Ordinary servant in the house of Pharaoh. But Moses, I'm calling you something greater, something bigger than you, to lead my people out. Praise the Lord. I can imagine Pharaoh, Moses. The first few months, he will have been thinking, hey, I won't be in the palace again. I will not have my bodyguards following me everywhere I go. You know, all the perks of a leader, right? Removed. Because you want to do what? Serve God. Remember when he killed the Egyptian and the thing became open, he ran and became what? A fugitive. He lost every right. But it was faith he had in God that made him move forward. Sometimes some of us say we have faith, but we don't want to lose the little comfort that, in quotes, pleasures of sin that we have. And because of that, we are held captive by sin. Because we don't want to let go. You need to let go and do what? Let God take control. Praise the Lord. So faith prepares us to suffer affliction for a better tomorrow and helps us to take a better decision. Because he checked everything. All the good things in Pharaoh's palace. He abandoned it. I went and became a shepherd in the backside of what? The desert. And when the fullness of time was come, God used him as one of the greatest prophets to ever live. Praise the Lord. The 12th point, verse 29, he said, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, we are drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violently in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. What was Paul trying to communicate here? And which is the 12 points. Faith produces the supernatural power and births the impossible. Faith produces the supernatural powers and does what? And births the impossible. Because here he's giving us the heroes of faith who did great exploits. Look at David, a 17, 18 year old boy going to a battle. We are tested men of war. We are all, you know, when a Goliath comes out, you know, a giant, I said, is there no man in Israel? Everybody will be shaking like that. Some of them, if not the voice, they will go and hide. David had bigger brothers, big boys, well-trained soldiers. So show you how small it was. He was not going to carry food, to go and send them food in the battlefield. And when he got a small boy, this giant came out again and started, you know, to blaspheme the name of God. And everybody was scared. Even King Saul, he was scared. And David said, because he had faith, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine abusing God and my people? No. He said, I will take off his head. He said, he will kill. He said, what will be done for any man that will kill this man? First of all, assure me what I'm going to get first. Because I know I'm going to deal with him. He said, come. Let's take it to the king. When he got there, he said, okay, look at the this thing for the war. Take a helmet. Take this. All these are useless. But he had faith. Praise the Lord. Because you had faith, he had to confront the enemy. He produced supernatural power. Because he had the anointing of God upon him. God is looking for men and women who will go against the odds. It's not like now. Let me put that in the example now. You have somebody who wants to go after the United States of America with all their power. And you look here, what you have is some goldsmiths who are learning how to produce knife. Can't even produce they're laughing. Can't even produce one. War plan is too much. Even they have war plans, have all kinds of crazy weapon, right? Then you say, I am going to fight them. In fact, they will go home and sleep. Look at the wall of Jericho. That's why Paul mentioned all them one by one. Jericho was fortified. In those days, they didn't have bombs. There was no way you use knife to penetrate the wall of Jericho. It's not possible. Praise the Lord. And Joshua came and saw the captain of the host of heaven. He said, are you for us? Are you against us? He said, remove your shoes, Joshua. This where you stand is the holy ground. You don't need all those physical instruments to fight this battle. Come, let me give you the battle strategy. Uh-huh. Yes, Lord. What is the battle strategy? Every morning, carry the people. People just go around, and march. Do it 6 days, 7 days, march 7 times, and blow the trumpet. The walls will come down. Some people say, yeah, right. Is that a military strategy? Praise the Lord. But because they had faith, they believed. God gave what? Made it possible. Faith is the currency of heaven. There are things you need to do in your life, but you need faith to activate it. David took off the head of Goliath. He said, I will cut off you. I will kill you. He didn't have any sword. He had only a catapult. But he had a great God. Praise the Lord. So faith produces supernatural power and bets impossible. I used to watch, there was this picture they put on, is it Facebook or where, about a man who is a multi-billionaire and says, whoever that will marry my daughter will have to swim across this swimming pool. How many people have watched it? Full of crocodiles, right? So two friends were arguing, and basically the guy was pushed into the pool. For the fear of dying by the keeping a crocodile, the guy didn't know where he swam across the pool before the crocodiles could get him. And he said, who did this? The man said, well done, you've done it. Meanwhile, it was what? That survival instinct pushed him. You need faith to activate this supernatural in you. Some of us have what it takes for greatness. That greatness is in you. But it's waiting to what? To be activated. With the right combination, praise the Lord, from the spirit realm. The 13th one point, which is verse 35, says, women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. My take for this, because I was wondering, why did Paul bring the story of the Shunammite woman? Or the Buddha, I think it was the Shunammite woman that lost the child. Praise the Lord. Why did Paul bring this story here? He says, 13, faith makes you take no for what? An answer. When you have seen the end point, right? Remember, evidence of things not seen. Substance of that you hope for, right? When you have seen the evidence, will you take no for an answer? I can imagine who was the one that was in school in Harvard and was thrown out. Who was it? The Apple guy, right? Huh? Okay, Mark Zuckerberg. The guy saw what he was going to do. Facebook. He said, no. He said, this Harvard degree can wait. Because he has seen the end point. So when you have faith, it helps you to say what? You can't take no for what? For an answer. When you go to Mr. A, you say, I have this great idea. They say it cannot work. He said, don't worry. I will call you when it has worked. You go to another place, they say they turn you down. You, because you have faith and you are fully convinced, you can never take no for what? For an answer. Many people have chicken head because they don't have faith. They have the great idea, but it's not backed up by faith. But if you've seen it in your mind eye, nobody will stop you. You become unstoppable. Praise the Lord. Verse 36, the 14th point. Don't worry, we're rounding up. The 14th point. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They were wandering about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Praise the Lord. He was talking about children of God that endured tribulation because of their faith. So the 14th point here is, faith enables you to endure temptation trials, imprisonment, afflictions, and tribulation. Because you've seen the end point where you're going, the devil will come to tempt you with all kinds of things. Joseph was tempted with the most beautiful woman in Egypt. If Joseph had slept with Potiphar's wife, he would have remained a houseboy all the days of his life. But because he had a vision of greatness, he endured temptation. Some men of God were, you know, if you read the heroes of faith, not the ones mentioned, by people that were burnt on the stake. Tyndale, the man that helped us translate the Bible, right? I think to English from Latin. He was burnt on the stake. In those days, he said it was an offense. You and I wouldn't have had Bible today. But the man, he knew what he said, this thing is not restricted to only the fathers to read and tell us what they've read. He said everybody should be able to read the Bible and have access to God directly. This is against the king's commandment, and the penalty is death. He said, if so, I perish, I perish. They tied him on the stake. He could have denounced and handed over his printing press and the material. No. He refused. They tied him on the stake and roasted him. Sometimes you read, you say, oh, they tied him and burnt him. No. Burning is, think about it now. They'll put the fire. And I think it will be, before the fire will get hot, it will be hitting. So the person is, you know the way you grill meat when you're doing barbecue. The pain was slow and steady, cooked the person gradually before the real fire came. But faith made him endure. Some of us, to endure not to tell lies, wahala. To endure not to steal, wahala. To endure not to womanize, wahala. To endure not to manize. Why is the only womanize? Manize, wahala. No, strange things are happening. No. Women now are also going after men. That's the truth. Dangerously. They won't endure. But some endured the saw. Who was the apostle that was cut into two? With a saw. Who helped me? Google it. The apostle that was cut with a saw. They put him like this. Put a saw. The thing was going. They cut him into two like this. And he refused to denounce Jesus Christ. Some of us have not been called to that level of temptation. Some of us have not been called to that level of trial. And that is why we need to get our hearts together. Faith is everything. Faith is what propels you to greatness. Show me any great man that accomplished something in life. You see, when I want to use faith here now, I want to use it generally. And accomplish anything that is worthwhile, I didn't have faith. Praise the Lord. Even the person that goes to Babalawo to go and steal pants, that's what I say in Nigeria now. To go and give Babalawo that pants to convert to money. I don't understand. The person has a little faith in the devil, right? The person that is going to steal pants so he can have money, he has faith what? In the devil. But if I bring the pants, it will turn to money, right? Or whatever they do. Then you that is serving the living God, exercise faith that God would, you know, do it for you. You don't even want to exercise. It takes faith to do all those things. But yeah, they have their faith in the wrong side. Praise the Lord. So faith is everything. And if you're going to go far in life, you must trust God. You must trust that He is more than able to accomplish whatever anything I said He will accomplish in your life. And I want us to bow down our heads, even as we pray. I don't know what the issues are. I don't know what you're believing, God. I don't know what the challenges are. But the God that we serve is more than able. You have that great vision that you have been nursing, that you've seen. And you believe God will do it. You need faith to activate it. You want to accomplish greatness. then you must make some sacrifice. You must endure hardship like a soldier. God is calling us something higher. Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the question is there anyone here that wants to please God? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You're here, you've given your life to Jesus Christ, then activate that faith. Make sacrifice on this walk. Serve God in truth and in spirit, like Abraham, obey. Like Enoch, please God. Like Abel, sacrifice. Like the other heroes of faith, receive supernatural ability to do exploits in the kingdom of God. But if you're here, you've not given your life to Christ, the first thing that you need is to exercise your faith by believing God. And there is a God in heaven. By believing God that, yes, that we are sinners. And that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, who came and died that we might live. We are saved by grace through faith. There must be an element of faith to receive salvation. Salvation opens the gate to the kingdom of God. Is there anyone here that is willing to exercise that faith to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been blessed. For more information, kindly fellowship with us on Wednesdays by 6:30 p.m. for our midweek services and Sundays by 9 a.m. for our family services at number 209 Muriokola Street, Victoria Island, Lagos, or visit us on Facebook at Kingdom Disciples Assembly.